BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Hello and welcome to The Listening Project. My name's Cuffy Smiles and I'm in the hot seat for Fee Glover this week while she takes a well-earned break. In our final chat today, Karina and Katie talk about the differing role surrogacy has played in their lives. Karina is 42, from Sussex, an accountant and mother of four children born through surrogacy. She has a three-year-old girl and triplet boys born during the pandemic last year. She's married to Sati and is involved in a number of projects to raise awareness about surrogacy. The main one is a podcast called The Intended Parent, which she created to help provide resources and advice to those who are interested in going through the surrogacy route independently. Katie is 39 and lives in Cardiff. She's a civil servant and has an 18-year-old son. She's been a surrogate twice for the same couple and is hoping to start the journey again for another couple. Karina starts.
I make a conscious effort to make sure that Amala knows other children born through surrogacy. I do a lot of advocacy work because I think when she's 15, 16 and she gets an Instagram account, she might want to read about everything and nothing's going to be a shock to her because it's all been documented with total honesty. And I've got her kids' books about sort of being born through surrogacy, and I talk to her and we have photos of our surrogates in our house, and you know, we still have a relationship with them. And because she was 2.5 when her brothers were in our second surrogate's tummy and she saw Laura's bump, she really quickly puts it together and she said, oh, but my brothers came from Laura's tummy. And I think it's lovely that she doesn't think anything different and she doesn't think that she's different just because I didn't carry her.
Saoirse is the same. When I was pregnant with her brother last year, before COVID hit, she was able to come along to like one of the scans.
I think it comes back to that thing of putting in the work before you start your journey, because I'd be lying if I didn't say that when I do talk to Amala about how she's born and I'm teaching her things and, you know, I see there's pregnant women at the nursery and she's now putting two and two together that there's a baby in that tummy, but I wasn't in my mummy's tummy. I'd be lying if that wasn't a trigger to remind me that I didn't carry her and that doesn't cause me a little bit of heartache that, you know, something took pregnancy away from me. Of course, that's going to be with me forever. But having put the work in before she was born means that I would never hold back from her truth because of protecting my own heart, because I know that's our reality. And, you know, we can't keep that a secret from her because I think it would be really damaging. And sometimes you do have to educate those around us because they don't think that that's normal. And they'll think that a child's got it wrong when they say they come from someone else's tummy. And you're like, no, she's got it absolutely right. That's what we teach her. And, you know, she knows absolutely that mommy's tummy was broken and she needed help. But what you say about, you know, it's lovely that they know that, you know, you need more help. The triplets, they're conceived through egg donation. So for me, that was quite a complex decision to go through. I did put work in terms of, am I ready to have one genetic child? So Amala was from my own egg. And would we be happy with another child who was from a donor? And then, you know, as a woman, not having that genetic link and then also not having the pregnancy to connect you with your child was something to get your head around. And, you know, how will I treat that child if the genetics are different to the other child? And so much to think about as a woman who's becoming a mum in these alternate ways. But like we just said, at the heart of it all has always been the child. And do I want that child? And will I, you know, what's my love like? I always just used to think, I look at Amala and I just think, well, I love her and I don't love her for her DNA. I love her because she's my daughter. And if I have another child, I'll love that child because they're my child, not because of the genetics that lives within them. It's about my relationship with that human being. And so we went on a donor conception journey for our second child, or it turned out to be triplets, or our second children. Anyone who's listening to this on audio, I'm a person of colour. I'm South Asian. And in my community, infertility is not really talked about. Surrogacy is not talked about. Donor conception is not talked about. You don't find Indian surrogates, altruistic Indian surrogates here in the UK. You don't find Indian egg donors in the UK. So as an IP from an ethnic minority, you can feel really disconnected from all of the help that's there. And we went to extreme lengths to find a donor. Like, I ended up decided to use known egg donation because I wanted this link with my donor, because I knew I wasn't carrying and I wouldn't have that genetics. So I found a clinic all the way in Cyprus who had an agency in South Africa who had donors of Indian origin, and that was the only place I could find someone who had the same skin tone and hair color as me for a donor match. And we sort of created embryos and fell pregnant with them, and my children were born and they've got white skin and blue eyes. Like, you literally couldn't predict it. Like, we went through the ends of the earth to find an Indian egg donor, and my husband's, you know, fully Indian, brown skin, black hair, and the boys are like light brown hair, white skin, and beautiful blue eyes. But do you know what? They've just taught me that it doesn't matter. And, you know, I've learned it in hindsight that it didn't actually matter who my donor was, because that's not what makes me their mum. Their skin colour doesn't make me their mum. It's my love for them. And I say that now to a lot of people who knock at my door who are of sort of Indian origin looking for donors. And I always just say, if you can't find an Indian donor, but you want to be a mum, go with your heart and find a route to motherhood, because actually the genetics don't matter at all. It's how you love and nurture that child. That's all that matters.
That's just put perfectly. You know, I was brought up in a family. I've got step parents, step siblings, big family. That none of that matters. It's our family is based on love, not on who shares what amount of DNA with who. You know, when it comes to using my own eggs for those children, I just see myself as a fertility donor in the same way that some people are blood donors. They're just some cells in my body that I can give to someone else to help. It's just science. And yes, it can be fascinating. Their daughter looks like me. Their son looks nothing like me. He could have come from anyone. I always find that quite fascinating. And the parents embrace that. You know, they like seeing pictures of me age 4 and 5 and being like shocked. You know, they're pretty much just pictures of their daughter because we look so similar. So I do find the science fascinating, but it has no impact on the love. It can take some time to get your head around that. When I first became a surrogate, I was not going to use my own eggs. I was a host surrogate because I couldn't picture breaking that bond between DNA and love. But within a few months, this was, you know, for my first couple, I just thought, gosh, if this doesn't work and they need an egg donor, of course I would offer them because I want them to be parents, and that would be how they would have to do it. It just clicked and made sense. And the only thing that was holding me back from being a traditional surrogate then was the thought of the home insemination process grossed me out. But then, and when I met the boys that I've had the babies for, they had actually had embryos. They'd selected their donor, they'd made embryos before I met them. And so we did IVF, but we had 3 failed transfers with 4 embryos. And our, you know, our next plan was do straight surrogacy, and we got pregnant first time. And it just makes no difference. One of them is a biological dad. The children are genetic siblings through my eggs, I suppose. But again, it makes no difference. They love the children the same. The children love them the same. The extended families, the grandparents, it makes no difference. They treat them the same, which is also one of my other favorite things about being a surrogate, is that you're not just helping make parents. I love the fact I've made grandparents, I've made cousins, aunties, uncles. The genetics just don't matter at all.
There's so many complicated things when it comes to surrogacy, and there's so much education that I think needs to be done of, you know, healthcare professional, medics and general public. And hopefully this sort of conversation helps form part of that wider education.
And hopefully with the law reforms, which fingers crossed will go through next year, or at least be put before Parliament next year, things will improve, education in it will improve. We'll see a lot more positivity around it. And hopefully, you know, I hope it brings more people to surrogacy if that's something they either possibly would need or even to become a surrogate. So it's been great having this conversation, and I'm so thrilled to have met you. Everything you've said just completely resonates with me, and people will ask me why I've been a surrogate, and it's something I can't ever really properly capture into words. But people within surrogacy, I don't have to explain it. And people like yourself, I don't have to explain what it means to be part of that and how wonderful it is.
Karina and Katie were recorded by our producer, Andrea Proctor, at Radio Coventry in Warwickshire. You can download all our chats on BBC Sounds. More next week right here. And from all of us on the team, until next time, goodbye.